Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of my favorite people in the media joins us now. It's time for some Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
It is nasty Nate time. Consider yourself lucky, Nate Taylor, because we're talking Chiefs. Nate Taylor is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor joins Fesco and Dusty. Nate, let's get to the elephant in the room. Your boy, Rafael Nadal, calling it quits in the tennis world after 22 grand slams. What's that do for Nate Taylor?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, fellas. It's a little sad. It's a little sad. I have grown to love Rafael Nadal the further along he's gone in his career. You know, there was like a slim chance that one thought, based on how his body's deteriorating, obviously, hey, could he give us one more French Open, right? Could he give us one more Roland Garros? But his body hurts. He's got a baby boy. He doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And so because the Davis Cup is in Spain, his home country, this seems like as good a time as any to retire. And look, he played long enough for the other guy from his country to be amazing. And that, of course, is my favorite player right now on tour, Carlos Alcaraz. So I have no ill will towards Rafael Nadal. And, of course, a lot of people will remember that. It's not my favorite Wimbledon final, but, I mean, he did dedicate himself to beating Roger Federer at Roger Federer's peak on his favorite surface, which was Rafael Nadal's least favorite surface, which, of course, is grass at Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. So having been there over the past summer, it brings back all these memories. But, yeah, we really haven't seen Rafael Nadal play at a high level since, I want to say, like 2021, early 2022. And it kind of sucks that his last memorable match will be him kind of getting destroyed by Novak Djokovic, who remarkably is still playing well at the Olympics in France at the site of Roland Garros.
Isn't it, though, better for an athlete to maybe walk away, leaving you wanting more, though? I mean, we see it all the time, Nate, where these guys hang on and it's like Emmitt Smith in a Cardinals uniform. And you're like, oh, God.
Ooh,
like, we all have those guys that you're like, damn, you should have left when you were on top. And not that Rafael Nadal's on top, per se, but he's leaving you wanting more. And that should be the goal of every athlete. Don't leave and me go, God, you should have left 2 years ago.
Exactly. And to that point, too, I don't have to worry about Rafael Nadal maybe not, you know, producing the level I thought he was capable of based on his athleticism and his, you know, ability to hit a tennis ball. Man, that dude squeezed every freaking thing out of it. And he was, you know, one of the hardest players. You know, you always want athletes to care, and you never had to worry about whether Rafael Nadal cared or not, because he was trying to kill you, you know, with that left forehand that would kind of rise up and like hit you in the chest. And again, these are the best tennis players in the world, guys, and they all hated playing against him because he was such a fierce competitor. And, you know, I know the show did not go as well as I hoped it would, but there's this tennis show that was out a couple years ago called Breakpoint. Mm-hmm. And the literal best clip of that is Rafael Nadal getting inside poor Casper Ruud's head before the match even starts, in like the little like tunnel before they go out onto the court, and Rafael Nadal's going through his quote-unquote pre-match routine, which is him just like looking like a jackrabbit ready to like destroy his mentee, like the guy he helped train get at the top level. Hey, it's been nice knowing you, Casper. I'm going to kill you today. It's one of the greatest clips. If you can find it, look it up. Because that tells you, like, the mind of a competitor. where, like, hey, Casper Ruud, probably going to go in the Tennis Hall of Fame, been to multiple Grand Slam finals. He was never beating Rafael Nadal that day.
All right, so I want to ask you this. Look forward a little bit. If this season comes to a close, Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and Travis Kelce announces his retirement, will Travis Kelce be going out at the right time and leave you wanting more, or do you think Travis Kelce should stick around?
No, I'm... Okay, I'm going to go inside journalism here. I am preparing myself to be ready for when he retires at the end of the season, and I think it's understandable for me to inform our listeners, Chiefs fans, to kind of prepare themselves for this potentially being his last season in the NFL, because I think his contract sort of announced that to people if they really looked at it, like, hey, you're the highest paid tight end, and also, yeah, just add another year onto my deal, and, like, you know, that'll help you out if I actually do retire from a salary cap structure, you know, flexibility. He's 35, guys. He's the same age as Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Gronkowski been out of the league for multiple years. Mm-hmm. I think him and Taylor Swift are obviously, you know, deepening their love. He's obviously got a lot of ideas as to what he wants to do after his career. Most notably, he can be a podcaster still, obviously, with his brother. There's still the chance for him to maybe do something with ESPN, because I think that was ESPN's idea when they brought Jason Kelce into their sort of corporation, more so than, like, letting Jason Kelce go somewhere else, right? So Jason Kelce's on Monday Night Football. Who knows what will happen with Travis Kelce? Of course, Travis wants to be an actor. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And, oh, by the way, like, if him and Taylor Swift do get married, like, they're at an age where, like, it's time to settle down. It's time to, like, you know, enjoy the other parts of adulthood that come after you've had, like, such a great individual career for both of them, right? So with all that said, he will not be leaving me wanting more. And that's okay. But I also know, too, he didn't hang on. And he wasn't someone where his body broke down to such a degree that it was kind of hard to see. I think that's one of the clear differences with football compared to any other sport. It's like, hey, man, I don't want you to be like Kobe Bryant. I don't want your Achilles to snap and I have to watch you shoot free throws and that be, like, kind of it. Now, it helps that Kobe Bryant came back and, of course, scored, like, what was it, 60 points in his last game that was utterly meaningless. But, hey, great times, Kobe. But with that said, I just feel like, hey, you get 12, 13 years in the NFL, you're already going in the Hall of Fame. Who knows what happens with the Chiefs, whether they win the Super Bowl or not. He will not leave me wanting more. I will be thrilled for him that he had a great career and his body didn't break down to the point that, like so many former players, you kind of grimace when you see them, you know, 5, 6, 10 years after their career.
Speaking of, like, 5 to 10 years after their career, I'm sure you've seen the video. It kind of goes into what everybody's wanting to know is if the Chiefs add a piece. Tyreek Hill, Nate, is sharing videos of his times with Kansas City via his Snapchat. What goes into that? Seriously, I'm so confused by this. Because I got scoffed at by another writing company that said I was in the wrong or I was egregious for thinking this. But, like, is he just doing this? I mean, like, that's like taking pictures of your ex-girlfriend and you on your Instagram story while you're in a new relationship. Am I wrong with that?
Yeah. This happens every now and then, ladies and gentlemen. And this is mostly on men because we're idiots. We're the idiots. Okay.
Yes, we are.
So let's admit that first. You know, it's a great comparison, Dusty, because, yeah, man, you know, you got that pretty young thing down in Miami, mm-hmm. and it's just not working out, and it's not your fault. You know, it's just sometimes life happens. I mean, it's unfortunate that Tua Tagovailoa got another concussion, and, you know, his career is basically in question, right? But then you look across from you, and you're like, dang, Samantha just stayed pretty, mm-hmm. just stayed consistent, her job stayed good, dang, the house looks nice. I mean, did she change her hair color? Whoa. Okay. All right. How do I maintain a level of balance? It's really hard.
Yeah.
So it's okay to, like, admit it to your homies. It's okay to admit it to, like, your therapist. Hey, bro, I don't need to see them pictures. I do not need to see those pictures, and you don't need to put them out there, okay? Now, your contract's too big. They're not going to return your phone calls, and you're living in Miami, man. Things are okay. It could be worse,
yeah.
But I understand. Hey, man, you knew how fun that was back in that old days, and she looking fun now. You know, she looking mature.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Healthy. I mean, she making anybody look good, and you know you damn well better than him.
Yep.
So again, we've all been through it before, and it's okay, bro. Tell that to your therapist. Tell it to the homies. You cannot put those pictures online. You can't. You can't send videos of you doing well in a Chiefs uniform where you're getting paid by the Miami Dolphins.
No, I mean, it's just the whole thing is bizarre. You know, it's been bizarre since the day he was drafted here in Kansas City. I mean, it's just been one thing after another with that guy. But all that being said, Andy Reid, I think, showed why you don't need Tyreek Hill, which is what we've been preaching for years, you know, here. And it was a masterclass on Monday night, I thought, by Andy Reid. Okay, tonight's ass whooping is going to be served by tight ends. Let's go. And Patrick Mahomes throws for 330 yards or whatever it was, 450 yards of total offense. And I thought Andy Reid and his staff, they put on a masterclass Wednesday night or Monday night.
Yeah. No, it's a perfect example. And I mean, you know, outside of the one turnover in the red zone, which I know is like,
well, that's rinse and repeat now, Nate, you know.
Outside of that, it was an efficient game. It's the best they've looked all season on offense, and that's even including how well Rashee Rice did against the Baltimore Ravens, of course, because they kept scoring points throughout the game. They obviously did not score, I believe, in the fourth quarter against the Ravens, which allowed the Ravens to kind of, you know, hang around and have a chance to win late. With the four tight ends, it's hilarious. They can bring Jody Fortson off the street, and I wonder if that's a little bit of the Tyreek Hill element, too. It's like, hey, Jody was my teammate like 3 weeks ago. Now he's catching passes from Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Like, hey, man, it's nice to not have a gigantic contract where you can just kind of go back to your old team. Noah Gray's been productive. Obviously, they can rely on Travis Kelce to a degree. And, I mean, who thought Kareem Hunt would play better? He actually, I know he didn't have like an explosive like 15, 20 yard gain, but he was consistent. He actually played better as the starter than when he came off the street and played pretty well in three quarters against the Los Angeles Chargers. So it is a masterclass because, hey, you don't have to, you know, expand Xavier Worthy's role just yet. You can wait for that to sort of naturally happen through the course of the season. Juju Smith-Schuster's like, okay, I guess it's time for me to go back to like 2022 Juju Smith-Schuster now that Rashee Rice is hurt. And they're like, great, we got all these plays that we can use. And, you know, the Saints really never adjusted to, hey, you might want to cover the middle of the field. It's wide open, guys, because whatever you guys are playing, they're sort of, you know, reacting to what your coverage is. It really was a masterclass. And if that interception does not happen, it's a laugher. So for everything that's occurred, I do get the sense now that, okay, the Chiefs, like a lot of those Patriot teams from, you know, a decade ago, would be like, okay, we originally thought this. Then we found out our team was more like this, and we are going to lean into it, and it's going to take the league longer to adjust to our changes versus us proactively changing based on the situation, the circumstances, obviously the injuries. And, of course, it really helps if you got a great Hall of Fame coach and a great Hall of Fame quarterback.
Nate, what are you doing during the bye week this week with no Chiefs game on Sunday? Who are you watching and why?
Okay. I want to fall in love with Jaden Daniels. I really do. If he goes to Baltimore and the Commanders beat the Ravens, okay, he's been cemented, he's certified. I remember what it was like in 2018 when you really look up and you say, man, the season is really about just this one guy for a certain franchise. And Jaden Daniels is doing that in a way that is even more impressive than, like, you know, Robert Griffin III did back when he was a rookie starter for Washington. So that's the one game I'm really interested to see. It's also interesting that the league didn't think this game was going to be worth anything.
I got a story for you, though. I read this morning that NBC tried to flex the Giants-Bengals out of Sunday Night Football for that game, and CBS said no.
Now, see, this is where Roger Goodell has to step in. Hey, man, I know that you don't get all the adjudications right when it comes to suspensions. Hey, I know you have way too much power. If you have way too much power based on the collective bargaining agreement with the players union, and who cares about the you're going to be fine. You're going to get the advertising dollars. I'm going to get you back right another time. But he really should have stepped in and said, hey, bro, like, have you seen this kid? Like, I know we had him on Monday night against Cincinnati. I don't want to watch Daniel Jones in prime time. Daniel Jones don't even want to watch himself in prime time.
Right,
now,
right.
Now I get it. CBS is like, fine. We kind of want the game. But also, this is the one, guys. This is the one. You know, hey, by the way, all husbands, all boyfriends, like anybody with a significant other, you ain't got to watch that game on Sunday night. You ain't got to do it. You ain't got to do it.
Right.
It's not important. Like, neither one of them teams going to the playoffs. It sucks for NBC. You ain't got to do it. So that's the one game I'll be watching. Hopefully we wake up Sunday and the Royals have done, you know, a little mini improbable comeback in a postseason series with the Yankees. But no, that's the one game that I really care about. We'll see what the Chargers do. We'll see what the Raiders do with Aiden O'Connell. I mean,
ugh,
good Lord. But, yeah, you know, hey, that's what we have this weekend. It's not a great slate of games. So, again, if you want to go to the pumpkin patch,
hey,
if you want to go down to Lewisburg,
hey,
cider in you, do your thing, guys.
Well, All right. Thanks, Nate. Now I've got to watch Real Housewives of Atlanta on Sunday night for about five straight episodes.
Hey, buddy, I got to watch Love is Blind, and I've already heard it's terrible this season. Look, you know, get it live, my man. Get it live.
Yes, sir. Hey, Nate, enjoy the week off, and then we'll talk to you next Thursday and get ready for a Chiefs game next week. So take care, man. I appreciate the time.
Yes, anytime, fellas.
Big one next week. That's the San Francisco Super Bowl rematch, huh?
That's right.
Who do the Jets have this week?
Robert Saleh.
Oh, Monday night they play the Bills. That's right.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.